Hello, this is NY Bill.
And this is Saru.
And this is Benny.
And we recently, well, you guys recently were talking about SDF.org on Identica. How did you guys find that?
Actually, it was through Colonel Occast, Planet, Colonel Panic Occast thing.
Ah, okay.
I just found it through. he posted it on Identica, I think, or in G+, anything like this.
Yeah, because I saw you guys talking about it for a couple days, and then finally I was like, all right, guys, what is this? And you sent me the SDF.org. It's a public access Unix system that's been running since 1987, which is it's pretty old school. It's retro cool.
But anything with a shell is cool.
Yeah, exactly.
It was so nostalgic when I made an account and I logged in, and it brought me back to like 1990. That's the last time I was on a Unix system was in college.
I think I was on a Unix system back in college as well. It was fun times.
So I'm the young one here who hasn't been on a Unix system because I'm too young for it. We had Windows boxes in high school.
He just called us old through.
Yeah.
No, I just said I may be younger than you, but
yet you're the BSD guy of the three of us.
Yeah. I'm just trying out FreeBSD, so but I'm not really a BSD guy. I use Linux. I started to use Linux back in 97 when I was at high school, or what the school we have that's kind of high school. So and I just started FreeBSD a few years back.
So this is SDF.org is free to sign up for, and you can get a lifetime account for $36, which is pretty cool. I think we've all done that, right?
Yep.
Yep, exactly.
And I had to order a t-shirt and some stickers because it was just that cool.
Yeah, I didn't order a t-shirt because the shipping is too expensive to Switzerland, but I ordered some stickers for my car. I like stickers on the back of my car.
Nice.
You need stickers. Especially on your laptop.
Yeah, exactly. On the laptop at the moment, it's one bike sticker and one, I think it's a beer. Yeah, it's a BrewDog sticker. This small brewery in Scotland.
Weird thing happened when I signed up and I got in there and it brought me like back 20 years. And I knew you guys were in there somewhere in the system somewhere. So I type who. And it said, you are amongst, I don't know, it said like 768 users, but it didn't list the users. And then I go, finger through. And I hadn't even thought of the command finger since 1990. It brought my head right back to where it was back then.
Yeah, I think most Unix boxes you use nowadays have just like a few users on that you put there yourself. So we are not used to Unix boxes with loads of users locked in anymore.
I was just surprised that the command just popped back into my head without it, like, put me back in time. Another thing that happened along those lines is I wanted to sign up for the ARPA membership, $36, and I wanted the t-shirt and the stickers. So I open up my drawer, and I wrote a check, and I put it in an envelope and a stamp, and I put it in my mailbox. And then I get all the way back upstairs, I go, what the hell am I doing? I mean, this is 2012, I'm sure they can take PayPal or something, but it's just...
Yeah, I use PayPal, because I don't have any dollars lying around I could send to them. And I don't know whether dollars would make it to the US from Switzerland.
I basically used PayPal as well. It's the easiest way to get around the problem.
Yeah, I don't really like supporting PayPal, but well, it's the easiest way to do it.
So when I got to my lug, I was telling the guys at the lug about SDF.org, and probably a third of the room knew about it already, and some of them even had accounts. So I don't know why I hadn't heard of it so long.
Yeah, I think, yeah, strange, because now when I'm on it, I see a lot of people that I know who's on it as well. So, yeah, latecomers.
And when was the last time anybody was in a mud?
Well, I think I tried some mud back in 2000 or something, but it wasn't that famous then anymore. So no one was there. It was just like an empty mud. So it wasn't that interesting.
Yeah, I used to sign into a local BBS system that had a mud. That was probably about 91, 92. I haven't seen a mud in forever. And they got Zork in there and all the old stuff.
There's a lot of games in there as well. That was actually the reason why I found it, was that Crane was talking about playing Tetris on here.
Hmm. I actually found him on there. He's on there too.
Yep. Just log into Tetris and look at the high score.
Oh, that right. Okay, you just tied it all together. This is where I recall him talking about Tetris, but I missed that it was on this system.
Yeah, but there's loads of funny things in here I've never used before.
One of the guys at my lug said it was the super. I got it written down. Super Dimension Fortress, SDF. It has something to do with a Japanese anime.
Yeah, I think back when they founded it as a BBS on, I think it wasn't on Apple II. It was a BBS for anime fans. That's how it started. It only became a Unix system like 2 years later or something. So it was a BBS on an Apple II for like 2 years.
Actually, though, wasn't the next step Linux, and they were getting hacked?
No, that was in 1998, if I'm correct. I think they used some weird Unix first, but they didn't go online with that one, and then they started using System 5. And they used System 5 to, I think it was 97, 98, something. And then they looked for an alternative, and NetBSD was up to the challenge then, so they started using Linux. And because, well, what's his name? The guy from...
I've got that written down too, and I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but I'm thinking Ted Ullman?
No. I mean the other one. The one that's still around today. I think Ted is the founder, but Ted went away in 92 or 93 to found some ISP. He was into making money, and the other guy isn't into making money, so that's why he's still around now.
Stephen Jones?
Is that it?
Yeah, it's the guy they interviewed on Free BSD Talk.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, and he said that Linux was... They were hacked because Linux was too famous, and people knew about Linux, so they knew what to do to... Can hack the system.
Linux is pretty rock solid. I'm curious. It would be neat to hear some of the stories of what was going on.
Yeah, I think the big problem was that whenever you find a Linux box somewhere on the web, people start trying to hack it. If there is a NetBSD box, no one even knows where to start. So I think all the hacker kiddies, or whatever you call them, were after Linux boxes back then.
Hmm. So the BSD was security through obscurity.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, I was just thinking about the problem with NetBSD at first. It was NetBSD back in 98 or whenever they tried it, had this problem that whenever you change a password, it had to rebuild the whole password database, and this took like 1 minute. So whenever someone signed up or changed the password, it took 1 minute or something to do this. That's why they went away from NetBSD to Linux.
And the thing has like 30,000 users right now, so I don't know what it had back then, but
I think about 15,000.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
But it is old school, though. They have a lot of Usenet access there, and you get a mail address and stuff like that.
Mm.
All depends on what you choose in there.
Yeah, if nothing else, you get a free email address out of it. But I mean, we've even talked about they offer you can do SSH tunneling through them and like run Screen and Orisi. And...
Well, yeah.
And I think they still offer dial-up service
right
to this day. So I think there is no ISP that does this anymore. You can dial up into a Unix box without any like of these protocols that they usually use, like PPP or whatever.
I haven't had a phone in about 10 years or a modem in 15. But that's cool that they do it. Oh, I should mention that the SSH forwarding, you can sign up for free, and you get the email address and a shell account. And then there's like different levels where you can increase your access into the system. So for the SSH port forwarding and stuff, that is
$36 a year.
$36 per year, that's reasonable.
Yeah, you get a few other things there, and I think it's quite reasonable. You get a box you can SSH into, and yeah, do a bit of port forwarding if you're at an internet cafe or something.
I do that now through my house, and I'm sure, you know, it's slowing down as it's going into my routers and then going back out through. So that would probably be faster to hit their servers.
Yeah, definitely. I use my Shiva plug at home for this too at the moment. So, but I have an ISP that support, and not ISP, like a website hoster that supports tunneling. So that's pretty cool.
Because I'm a tinfoil hat, so I have to be tunneled everywhere.
Yeah, when I was on holiday last week, they still used WEP as encryption on the Wi-Fi, so I was happy to tunnel to somewhere just to get proper encryption.
And you were playing with the Wireshark on the network.
Awesome. That's a vacation.
there were like a few other people on the campsite, and they were all like over 60 or 70. I don't think it would have been that interesting. No.
No, probably been a bit dull.
Yeah, definitely.
But among other things, what you can do here is you can get a website on sdf.org, or, which is pretty cool, you can get a Gopher site. And Gopher rocks.
Oh my goodness, I haven't seen that in so long.
What? You mean you haven't visited my Gopher site? Or Navigum's?
What's about my site?
Lost in Bronx set one up one should. Time, and I saw his, but no. I didn't know to look for yours, so I will now.
That was what got me started with Gopher. That was Lost in Bronx. Hmm. Yeah. I decided I wanted one as well, and put one on my in quotes web server.
So Windigo was at the log when I was talking about this, and he signed up too, and he says they have a Minecraft server also.
They have a status.net server as well.
Oh.
They have a lot of cool things running.
I haven't. I've just SSH in and. Just dug around, you know, through in a terminal. I haven't really.
I found that they have a few. If you type help or frequently asked question, they list what you can do. It's a lot of cool things.
Yeah, I think they even have a Jabber server, and if you're Meta ARPA, like with a $36 a year, you get like 200 gigs of storage on the Meta array. So. That's pretty good. You don't get this amount of storage for $36 a year anywhere else.
Yeah, the fees were quite reasonable. I've been thinking about getting a VPS to move a lot of stuff I'm doing at home up to that. I mean, that's 20 a month for a decent one, you know, an entry level, but a decent provider. And SDF offers VPS services too.
Yeah, they even have this entry level, like, a really low-end box you can get for, I think it's $60 a year. So I was thinking about this because I don't need a VPS, but just to play around and have a box with a fixed IP would be nice.
Oh, another Had you guys heard FreeShell? FreeShell.org, I think. It turns out it's the same. I'm going back to my lug again. Another guy that knew about this said he knew of it as FreeShell.org, and it just resolves to SDF.
Yeah, I still don't get the history of all the domain names. I think when they first started on the internet and they started to need a domain, it was sdf.lonestar.org, and lonestar.org was some kind of Texas-based group of BBSs. And then they had sdf.org, but I think to remember something, they lost this domain again.
Oh.
And then now they have it back, don't know. And they've got FreeShell, and there are loads of domains. When you're an ARPA member, you can choose what subdomain, from what domain you want your website to be on the subdomain. So they have like 36 domains or even more.
I see. It's your turn, Theroux.
I'm having a bit of problems with the shortcuts for Mumble, because apparently my browser has some of the same ones.
Yeah, exactly. Same problem here. But one thing I just discovered a few days ago, if you're a MetaARP member, you get Mosh access. That stands for Mobile Shell. That's a shell that works even with loads of lost packages.
Hmm.
So you could use your cell phone connection to SSH, or not SSH, Mosh into the server. There is even a story on a blog, not a vlog, on Gopher, from a guy. He was stuck in an elevator and he wasn't able to get a phone connection. And he wasn't able to get into the web over his Wi-Fi from the flat that was close to the elevator. But he was able to mosh into FreeShell or SDF and send an email to someone to tell them, "I'm stuck in an elevator." That's a nice story.
Nice. That's cool. All right, guys. So it was cool to get together and do an HPR on SDF.org. And I'll see you guys back on Identica. I'm NYBill at sdf.org.
And I'm Theroux, and you can find me on Identica, or you can email me at Theroux at sfse.org.
Yeah, and I'm Benny, and I think you can email me over Benny at sdf.org, or find me on Identica as Navigium or Navigium, or I don't know how
I'm going with Navigium.
Okay, fine. I'll take that. Okay, perfect. Then my beer's empty now anyway, so...
Perfect timing.
Exactly.
See you guys.
All right, see
you. Bye.
See ya, bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.